This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Friday, 11th of January, 2019. I'm Julian Ng, together with Kusu Chuang and our guest host, Sharitz Abdullah, and we're here to keep you company till 10 a.m. We are, of course, the morning run. How are you guys this morning?
Friday, for sure.
Very good.
Friday. Any plans for the weekend?
Well, a family-packed birthday weekend.
Wow.
That's for me.
Many plans. I'll be
rough
taking
stuff.
Over the...
Rough stuff, Sharitz.
Very rough. But looking forward to it. That's, yeah.
Many plans. Buying countries, taking over the world.
Okay.
Global domination, Jules.
Yep. You're one of those global domination types. I'm just going to take care of my pets, like take care of the yeast infections behind the ears. What have we got today, boys?
Well, I've got a story about how using this popular navigation app called Waze might get you into some interesting places. So maybe it's time to start learning how to get yourself around again by yourself.
Okay.
Okay. And next, we have a 47-year-old mechanic in a boutique garage in the outskirts of Tokyo, and he is souping up vintage oil guzzlers and turning it into electric. So the question is, will rewiring old cars save the world?
Very interesting. I'm sure Chuang would have a lot of thoughts on that. And coming up next, the coolest and craziest tech coming out of the CES, which of course is the consumer electronics show that's happening in Las Vegas right now. And in the meantime, here's New Light by John Mayer, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:09 in the morning. And Julian Ng here with Kusu Chuang and Sharitz Abdullah, just mucking around with you till 7 a.m. where we get slightly serious. If you have anything to say to us, WhatsApp us at 018-789-889 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, the CES stands for Consumer Electronics Show. It's a major show that happens every year for high-tech firms to peddle their wares or at least tell us their ideas about changing the world. So we're looking at an article here from the Wall Street Journal that highlights the coolest and the craziest tech at the CES.
Yes, there's tons of technology and gadgets being showcased at the CES. And I don't know if any of them are going to be
out in
the market. Life-changing and going to be out in the market really soon. But there are two things I want to highlight, things that I would pick. Now, this may not sound revolutionary, but there is the Lenovo smart clock.
Okay, so, what's that about?
It's a virtual assistant that stands right beside your bedside table. And what it does is that it tells you time.
Really?
Yes, that's right. It tells you time. But it has speakers, and it's also, when I say virtual assistant, so basically it runs on the Google Assistant program. And what it does is it can also play music. Now, why I like this app is because there's this growing problem, I think, with a lot of us who are very career driven, where they have problems sleeping at night. And this clock is basically going to be your bedtime storyteller.
Okay. Oh, really? So it tells you stories?
Yeah, that's right.
No kidding.
Yeah,
so you can choose whatever book you want. I'll just read it to you, is it?
That's right. My favorite one is Red Riding Hood. And at the same time,
can I choose the person whose voice it is? Can I get Dolly Parton to read me like Pride and Prejudice?
Only if your wife agrees.
Right. Google will have to hire me for me to accommodate all that request.
Your sleeping partner beside you would have to agree to this voice that's coming. Unless the technology is so great
that
only you can hear it.
Okay, Julian. Now, I haven't thought through that deep. Now, I can foresee some problem over there. Now, so that's on the smart clock. So just hoping that it'll be a solution for people to sleep better at night. And then the second one is, there's this beautiful looking solar machine, and they call it the Yoke Solar Cow. And it literally looks like a cow.
Okay.
And the other is where the battery is located. So this solar is going to power up some portable batteries, and it looks like when you pull it out, it's like you're milking a cow.
Oh, so it's a charger. It's basically a charger
that's right.
It's made to look like a cow.
Yeah.
Not groundbreaking. Why are all these things featured in the CES? Right?
It's not him.
It's the CES. So, I mean, solar cow that's a charger. What's that?
Okay, well, I like it that it looks like a cow. But what's important here is accessibility. I like the idea that, look, their target market is in Africa. They're trying to give access to them. They're trying to get...
Oh, it's in Africa, is
it's
it?
It's in Africa. Well, at the moment, the way they're marketing it, this South Korean technology is supposed to be set up in Africa, power them up, give them accessibility, give them access to smartphones. So there you go. That's my top two.
Okay, because I've been a big admirer of Iron Man and Tony Stark. I like the fact that
he's
Samsung...
not a real person. You realize that?
No, right? He is really. He does exist. Come
no,
on,
he doesn't.
He looks cool.
Samsung's Gems H, okay, is basically Samsung's conceptual line of assistive wearables. Now, this is a lower body exoskeleton, guys. It weighs just 4.5 pounds. It allows you to walk with 23% less effort. So, if you want to jump further, jump higher, run faster, you wear this damn thing, and then you will be able to get away as quickly as you can, especially when you're in trouble with your wife.
Yet another gadget to make you unhealthier.
You know how to pick
actually,
the cool stuff.
Okay, so there's a serious side to this, because there are assistive benefits for hospital patients. Right. Like, for example, I've got a bad back, right? And if this thing can allow you to walk with more or less effort, that's going to be interesting. The other one which I quite like is the fact that this company called Withings, right? Withings have come up with a watch. It's a wearable, yeah? And just for $130, just about 600 ringgit, you get ECG readings and high blood pressure on your heart. So there's a lot of medical benefits to wearing this thing. Plus, it looks damn good. It looks like a Nomos.
Okay, so it's all about health for you, Chuang.
Health.
Which is good. Like, just continue on a health theme, my choice would be what's called the Impossible Burger. So this is not just gadgets, right? People are showcasing technology as well. And for the longest time, people have been thinking about how to grow foods in the lab, because growing it in the farms and the fields causing a lot of environmental problems. Also, how to recreate the taste and the feel of eating meat and animals without actually harming the animals. So this team at Impossible Foods, they have an audacious goal to replace all animals in the food supply with its plant-based meat. And apparently, it tastes like the real thing.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm skeptical.
How can you replace the taste of a good old-fashioned ribeye?
Look at the picture. Look at the picture in Wall Street Journal.
John, you got a feel for the animals, Chuang.
I know, but no, ribeye, man. 250 grams of good old-fashioned American beef. Come on.
Look. They're trying to recreate even the sizzle of real meat. So when you slap this onto your frying pan, you can actually hear the sizzle of the so-called Maillard effect, right? Which is when proteins and fats mix with the heat, and that's where you get the sizzle and the burn that we love so much. And I don't know, this is going to be a crazy new world.
Yeah, there's going
to
be more.
You know how when you go to these Chinese vegetarian shops, right? And
yes.
And then you see something that looks like luncheon meat, and something looks like
the most delicious fish or something like that.
And then you eat it and it's like, what in heaven's name is this?
It's completely different. It does have its appeal. It tastes quite nice.
That had come like way before the CES ever started. Okay, we're talking about whether technology is making us stupid. That's coming up next, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that's The Other Side by Aerosmith. You're with us here on The Morning Run, Julian, Chuang and Sherrod's keeping you company till the next hour. If you have anything to say to us, please WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, guys, I have a fear, because I used to be so good with my directions and navigations. But today I rely so much on Waze that I fear losing out this navigational skill that I've built up over the decades, right? And yet I don't want to lose out. You know, I want the app to tell me the fastest route from point A to point B. So it was with great interest that I read this story of a woman getting stuck in a stretch of mud in a palm oil estate after following trusting Waze faithfully and loyally. So what do you guys think of this? Is this technology making us stupid?
Well, yeah. So this woman was not just any woman. She was a midwife on her way to meet a customer. So she was in Bandar Sarjana Putra. And because of this navigational omission, she ended up in a bit of a tizzy. She got stuck in mud and she called the police.
The fire department, actually.
Fire department. So yeah. My question was, What happened to the customer? But more importantly, big issue, Jules. There's a lot of technology out there, solutions, which basically make life easier. I've seen the latest cars. The latest cars allow you to just push a button on your dashboard to shut the door for you. What has the world come to? What have human beings come to? You can't even shut your own car door. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I take another vehicle that shuts the door for me. It's the MRT.
Okay, la, that's different, la. Come on, you don't want to be stuck in there when the thing's jammed shut, right? But there's something wrong. There's something wrong now happening.
Well, when I was reading this article, one thing I have to give credit for is her ability to get access to her phone to call the fireman when she got stuck.
Oh, yeah, the reception in a palm oil estate.
I would have thought that. That's right, because it's basically how they would have given, how telcos would have thought about giving access this when it's a populated area. But at the same time, you're right. It's really asking ourselves, really, why are we using tech these days? Are we using it to make our lives better, and at the same time, is it at the expense of using our brain capacity?
I want to dive into both your psyches, right? Do you trust Waze completely? Because if you don't, it always ends up in trouble. Yeah, you've got to trust Waze.
Really? You think so? No.
Of course.
I use Google Maps, actually.
Same company.
So I've got a theory, right, that extrapolated over the long term, I'm saying like 100 years or something, right? Because we're so dependent on the technology today, we're going to maybe become so weak, so useless, so ineffectual, and so inefficient that we're going to one day allow the artificial intelligence and the robots to take us over.
We're getting there. We're getting there already. It's the apocalypse.
We are in early throes of technology's disruption. This is 2018. There's another 82 years to go of this century. And already we're being rendered inanimate by technology.
The world could end in environmental cataclysm before even the robots take over, right? Because we are just killing the earth on a daily basis.
Yeah, and it's also about whether or not technology is really making our lives better. I mean, technically, when we first talk about technology, maybe about 20 years ago, we were supposed to have more time in our hands so that we can spend more time with the family or doing things that we love. But it turns out that when technology comes into place, people have more on their plates. They tend to want to do more things within the same period of time. So it's really it's really not meeting its objective.
You go to any restaurant at 7:30 at night, right? What's the chances that at least 70% of the family members are on their phones, not talking to one another?
We don't talk to each other anymore. Thank goodness for radio.
Well, thank goodness for...
We have a chance to talk to each other. Otherwise, Chuang, you know, you and I and Sharitz, you know, we wouldn't be talking with each other. We'll just be WhatsApping.
I'm sure there's a psychoanalytical implication from all this technology about how this these gizmos will rewire our brains and just mess us up. Do you remember how, like, today, right? And you always talk about the paleo diet, Jules, and how about how... you used to.
That is so passé.
Sorry. Really?
I'm eating nasi lemak now. I don't care.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? But you know how human beings in the past used to hunt and gather and forage, and now we're just like... We don't do those things. We just go to the mall. We go to cold storage. We just buy us... In fact, we just get Honest Bee to do it for us.
Okay, guys.
There goes my weekend.
That being said, I love my technology. Don't you dare take it away from me. This is Superfly by Curtis Mayfield, taking us into the news at 6:30. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that's Times Like These by Foo Fighters. You're with Julian Chuang and Sharitz. So, guys, we have apparently lab meat that would push us closer to saving the world. That's also an idea that can be apparently transferred to cars.
Yeah, so we have now come to that age where I think globally a lot of us are very conscious about climate change. I think we've been given a lot of information on that.
All but one, Donald Trump.
That's right, and his wall.
And his cohorts.
So with when we talk about climate change, some of the things that we always one of the main contributors that that's always highlighted are cars, yeah, and those guzzlers. So Bloomberg came out with an article, how to soup up vintage cars. Not how, but speaking about hot rods, which are being souped up in form into vintage into electric cars. And this is an article from Bloomberg Business Week. They write about the this mechanic, 47-year-old mechanic called Osamu Furukawa, who has a garage full of gorgeous electric cars. And when we talk about gorgeous electric cars, we're talking about the classics. We're talking
the vintage.
About the vintage, yeah. We're talking about Porsche
Volkswagen,
the Beetle. And this is all done in, again, it's important just to say that this is being done in a garage. So
I think it's a good It's a great idea, don't you?
I can't think of a higher travesty than that. I mean,
why is that?
What in heaven's name would compel someone who's an avowed petrol head like this Japanese guy to swap out a good old-fashioned, perfectly functioning petrol engine in favor of a battery?
It's not right? Perfectly two functioning, batteries. Though. Like, would a 50-year-old car function properly?
Well, actually, 2 years ago, I went to Laos with a friend of mine, lawyer guy. Right? I'm not going to say his name. He drives a 1967 Beetle with 2.5 million kilometers on his engine. Father bought
2.5 million?
2.5 million kilometers.
Right.
And my car was a 1991 Land Cruiser. 260,000 kilometers on the clock. If it's a mechanical engine, if you look after it properly, it will go forever. This story reminds me of the time when the royal wedding in the UK, Prince William and Kate, I think was the wife at the time, still is the wife at the time. Now, they got into
I haven't seen the papers.
Yeah. So William and Kate got to this beautiful Jaguar E-Type. And the E-Types, you know, the top end ones have a 5.3 liter V12 engine. And he got into the car, he started the car, and then he just went zzz, like a milk van. And I was like, what? They swapped out a perfectly good V12 engine for a battery.
Chuang, I don't know whether this is true, but I hear, maybe it's a rumor, but I hear that car companies are predisposed to recording the sound of their engine.
They do. Right? Yeah.
So the Ferrari would have its own iconic sound, and the Beemers and the Minis, whatever, would have their own purr of the engine, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So what's the point? I mean, this is not the real sound of the mechanicals in the car anyway, right? Or what's wrong with just replacing them with electronics and putting the same sound on?
The only way you can know the answer to that question, if you stood yourself next to a Lamborghini, say Espada, for example, from 1962, and you listen to that 5.3 litre V12 with four SU carburetors and snuffle its way into your heart, you'll know what I mean. You know what it's like to be next to a petrol engine.
Well,
I want to say, I want you to hear you say that after the apocalypse or the environmental.
We'll all be dead by then, Jules.
Okay. We all have different car experience. I mean, I always thought that being in the car, especially with, you know, if you're out on a date or something, it's all about having conversation. And these really loud cars. I mean,
if you went out on a date with Chuang, he would tell you that your car engine doesn't sound right.
Let's go.
Party to attend. I'm sorry, mate. But at the same time, okay. Look, since we're speaking about cars, and also in that tone, you know, there's that discussion out there about a possible introduction of a third national car.
Yes,
is an electric car a way forward here?
What have you got to say about that, Chuang?
Look, do you guys know that the ecological footprint of a plug-in hybrid vehicle is vastly greater than we give it credit for? Because you're buying stuff from all over the world, putting them in huge tankers, navigating its way around the world to the car factory in whatever, Oklahoma or whatever. And the rare earths that go into those batteries come from some of the most environmentally sensitive areas in the world. And
correct.
Do you guys know that 98% of rare earths come from China? And so, I mean, we think we're saving the world. We're not.
But then we're talking about rewiring old cars here, which prevents the new cars being produced, right? So if you take up a beat-up 30-year-old car with its corrosive metals and you rewire it and make it a new car, that's more environmental, don't you think?
Well, in terms of emissions, yeah. But once all batteries have a finite lifespan, you know that from the Duracell battery in your remote control, right? So once those batteries die, where are you going to put them? that's another huge headache, right?
But then where are you going to put the old dead cars, right? That, those are much bigger.
You used to melt them down, and then you make another car from that.
I don't know. You could pour some battery acid, I don't know, into old batteries, and I'm sure someone can think of a way.
Sharitz, what car you drive, man?
I drive a beautiful Jetta.
Are you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, with my wife. Yeah, we share a car.
Julian comes on a one JHP scooter.
I have a lot of fun on that. And also, I like using rideshares and MRT. But not to sound holier than thou, I actually love driving as well, especially a well-made car. Maybe not as religiously as you, Chuang, but these are the things that we aim for in life, right? The finer things in life.
Well, I came to the station today in my 1991 Toyota Land Cruiser 2.4-liter carbureted engine, which I drove to Laos and which I intend to go to Nepal with.
So is that the car that you're going to take me out for dinner?
Yeah, you're free tonight. Can you wear the little black thing?
Okay, boys. I'm looking forward to your journal on that trip, Chuang. It's 6:48 and we're coming up to the news. But before that, we're also going to have another discussion about driver's test, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Julian, and together with me are Chuang and Sharitz Abdullah, who's guest hosting for us. And we're just looking into some of these news this morning, having light discussions, maybe sometimes not so light. And thank you so much for all your messages. Ramli Syrup saying that good tech and bad human beings equals Waze, for example, is great for accurate jam avoiding navigation, but it doesn't mean you must be over reliant and lose that good old navigation skill that I talked about earlier.
That's right. Then I've also got this WhatsApp message from Suresh Raj. He says that Johor Sultan's 34-year-old Proton still works fine. This is all over social media yesterday. It made me think recall that actually that first original Proton Saga was powered by a Mitsubishi engine.
That decades ago, right? The achievement of Malaysia. Yeah. I still remember the jingle coming out on our TVs at that time, the days before the smart TVs. The jingle still rings in my head.
How does it go?
I wouldn't sing it and spoil your morning. But great photo op, right? Between the Johor Sultan
great
and
condition
Dr. Mahathir.
Yeah, so we could see the classic Proton Saga.
Non-metallic,
yeah. Yeah. It's a car design that, while affectionate for most Malaysians, will not win any car design award.
Certainly would not pass the end of life policy. There, cash for clunkers. Keep your messages coming in 018-789-8899, as well as tweet us on BFM Radio. There's this other story, crazy story, about how the Road Transport Department would improve its existing SOP to better protect safety of its officers after one of the candidates for exam threatened the officer with a 30 cm knife after he was failed the third time.
College kid, right? College kid taking his exam, right?
Wait, third just time. To get this right, is wrong, right? After you fail three times, it's wrong to kind of want to stab somebody, right?
No, so the most elementary of transgressions, he didn't stop at a traffic light, right? Come on, red light, come on, stop lah, you know what I mean? Yeah. He doesn't stop. Then the instructor fails him, pulls a knife on the man.
These are drivers that we don't want on the road.
It is so ridiculous, it's funny. And not just a knife, you know, not a blade, a 30 cm knife. It was a parang, man.
I think it's a narrative. It's a narrative on our society's bigger nonchalance about road courtesy, because we see it every day. It makes us angry. Sometimes we are guilty of being discourteous on the road, you know, with all our queue jumpings, blocking the road, parking at wrong places, parking on the handicap area. I mean, what can be done about Malaysian driving etiquette?
One thing that we could start talking about is our short-sightedness about the law.
pulling out a knife.
right.
It's just wrong.
It gets you investigated under the Penal Code Section 506.
You can go to jail for that stuff.
So he may not know what Penal Code is. So that's number one. So perhaps one way to just get all the drivers here on a straight line is to, start teaching from young on, issues like your rights and the law of the country, not basic ones, like, for an example, pulling out a knife is wrong.
Well, Jules, I mean, just this general nonchalance about what's right, what's wrong. I've been to some of the most beautiful beaches on the East Coast. Right? I mean, I was in Tumpat, Kelantan one time, and the beach was littered with diapers, right? Seven Up bottles. Seven Up, basically plastic bottles, right?
Okay.
This beautiful beach was littered, and you couldn't even sit down for all the diapers and all the, nasi lemak packets and Maggie Mee wrappers. It was disgusting, right? I mean, it's all over Malaysia. I don't know what it is about our culture that makes us think in this way.
All right, so we're coming up to the 7 a.m. news, and after that, we'll continue with this discussion on ethics with the hunt for critics of the monarchy, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.